We are back on the air. We're filled up. We have the whole studio packed with the team from Radio Entrepreneurs. That means I've got Chris on my left, Chris Jarrell, and I got Alex Cooper on my right, and that means I'm in trouble because they're behind my back to some degree. Hopefully, I'm still safe. And we're at the offices of MTP Software, the leader in CRM solutions for the sports and entertainment industry in the United States, and we want to thank them for always hosting us on the show. And our next guest is Eric Bloom, Executive Director of IT Management and Leadership Institute. Hi.
Hi, very nice to meet you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Tell us about IT Management and Leadership Institute, ITML.
Well, we're the governing body for two certifications in IT management.
Right.
The IT MLP, which is basically Management Leadership Professional and Management and Leadership Executive. Basically, we teach techies how to be managers and enhance and grow their career through leadership training as well as business training on everything from negotiation to influence, et cetera.
And that developmental curriculum, how is that presented to people? Is it online courses, books, or coaching? What's your format for delivery?
Oh, it's either live in-person type classes, or we actually do 50, maybe 60% of our training now via online live, via the webinar, but with live instructors.
Do you do whole companies, or is it usually a mixed class of different people?
It'll depend. Some of them are, we do a lot of public held classes,
right,
where it's really interesting. I love that because we'll get two people from the TV industry, one from financial services, two from manufacturing, one from retail, et cetera. So it's a nice blend. Other times we'll do it internally for a company, for the IT managers within their own firms.
Did you start the company?
I did.
So let's go in the Wayback Machine, and I always call it that because I'm a big fan of, you know, Rocky J. Squirrel.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back before the firm. What were you doing prior?
Well, I was in IT the majority of my career. First started as a programmer and so on, grew through the ranks to a CIO level. A CIO either means chief information officer or career is over, depending on how you look at it. But
That's my next title.
But
Someone told me yesterday their title was babysitter for their grandchildren.
You know what? With two grandkids myself, that's a great job.
I thought, yeah, that's a title I aspire to.
Absolutely. But anyway, about 10 years ago during the financial meltdown, I was the head of technology at an asset management firm. And as I like to say, I was given the opportunity to do new things. The morning I was laid off coming out of Boston that morning, I'd always wanted my own company. I started writing my business plan on the train on the way out of town that morning and never looked back. It's give or take about 10 years later.
Wow. So, a big change becoming an entrepreneur at the beginning. Remember, it's an entrepreneurial show versus being an employee.
You know, it's really funny you say that. I had being in IT and, you know, working with senior management and C-suite people, I really thought I understood business until I decided to run one. You know, when I look back at what I thought I knew then, it's really laughable. You know, it's just such a joke. To give you an idea, I thought 2009 was a great time to start a training company. And obviously, in some ways, actually, it was. But I think I've learned more about business, certainly entrepreneurship, people in general, and myself in the last 10 years than I think that I did in the prior 30 in corporate America.
Do you have partners?
No, I don't. It's my own firm. I had a partner originally for a little while. She's since retired, as is her husband, and they're traveling the world. Literally, actually.
Good deal. So tell us more about, I'm going to change my question midstream. I apologize. What are the most common areas of development that you find from, let's say, technical management that they need to learn?
What's really interesting is most people move into IT management because they were the best techie. That was me. You know, I actually, and as a result of that, and I was very much the poster child for this. If I had the choice, even in a manager or director level, of taking Oracle database internals or taking active listening and proper question asking and negotiation, I went the technical route. Why? Because through my education and early in my career, the way that technologists are learned to advance is to become more of a subject matter expert in their core technology and then advance that to, if not being an expert, then very knowledgeable on the technologies that connect with theirs. So I'd say active listening, I've been listening to people since I was born. What do I need that junk for? Truth be told is that every class that we teach now could be renamed what Eric Bloom should have known in his 20s, 30s, and 40s that would have saved him a lot of time and aggravation. That's why I'm so passionate about it.
Right. When you look back now, mm-hmm. where do you get your greatest sense of satisfaction?
In paying forward the advice and the learning that I was given over the years, is that when I started my firm, there were a number of people who helped me, gave me advice toward what to do, what not to do. You know, the typical, everything will be twice as hard, take twice as long, and cost twice as much, and you'll get half the expected value. But, you know, just stuff like that. But I get my most benefit, and I really look back at it most, I think, when people that I've trained come back to me and say, wow, you know what, you really helped my career. You know, it's just been fascinating to hear that. Just that I run across serendipitously years later. Mm-hmm. That it feels good to have made a mark and a help in their life. Because one thing interesting about doing keynote speaking and training and things along that line is you sell air. You know, it's not a physical product. It's not a piece of art that someone can buy and have. You know, sometimes you think that your words are done and then your words are done. You collect your paycheck and go on to the next gig. But when you really touch people in their lives and you've really helped them professionally and interestingly, in some cases personally, that's the real win at the end of the day.
Nice. Is the industry changing a lot?
Continually. I would say there's no industry that isn't. I'm at an interesting intersection of soft skills, movement in business, and digital transformation from the technology side. So every industry now is worried and thinking about how can digital technologies be used to enhance or modify their business model for their own company's profit. That's sort of an offensive look at it. The defensive look at it is what are other people doing related to my industry that could affect, destroy my current business plan. The example of that is I don't think that many taxi companies 15 years ago were worried about an app that people would have on their cell phone that would destroy their business.
Being a taxi.
Absolutely.
You're talking about Uber and Uber-like companies.
Yes, exactly, I am.
Right.
And you're seeing the same thing.
And it created an industry of entrepreneurs.
Without a doubt.
Versus taxi companies.
Yes.
Well, that's interesting to say that. What's your percentage of classroom training versus online today?
It's moving more and more toward online. I'd say it's now maybe 50-50, maybe even a little bit more toward the online training. You know, I'm careful not to call it webinars because when I think the word webinar, it cheapens it in my own mind.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a webinar. I didn't call it that.
No, I know you didn't, but a lot of people do.
I'm not a webinar fan.
The online, either am I actually.
Webinars are just talking heads.
Yes. The online training, it's really interesting. There are different best practices when you teach a class online versus when you teach it in person.
Right.
As an example of that is, you know, everyone hears, oh, death by PowerPoint. You know, in a classroom. If you
I don't do PowerPoint either.
Well, that's good for you. But you're familiar with it, but you're better off. But when you're doing a class online, you have to be on video, which a lot of trainers are actually afraid and intimidated by it. Being a technologist,
right.
You know, it's just sort of comes with the territory. Maybe I'm right. A little bit of a ham too. But being on screen physically, them seeing you is important. Also, you have to have lots of PowerPoint online things related to it. Because I found one of our best practices is you have to have a change on the physical screen other than just me moving around every 45 to 60 seconds, if not sooner. It could be going back to a previous slide and moving forward. It could be just putting a smiley face on the screen with the mouse / pen. But the thing is you have to keep people's interest so that these best practices that we've learned over the years, it's fascinating that it's different. You would think it's the same, but it's truly not.
Interesting. Who retains you, the employee or the employer?
Oh, easily the employer. It's really, really interesting what I've learned over the years, and I did it myself, is that there are very, very few employees who will spend money on their own professional development not paid for by the company. In some cases, I would be brought into a firm and, you know, they'd bring in the managers, the individual contributors, the salespeople, whoever it is, you know, a typical internal class. I just happen to be the one with the material and giving the, and doing the speaking. Our online classes, the ones that we do webinar-based, tend to be, see, here I said it, webinar-based, that are online-based because of its cost, because they're full-day classes. In general, I would say in virtually all cases, they are employees, and this is part of their corporate development plan.
Eric, time flies. If someone wants to find you at IT Management and Leadership Institute, how would they do that?
Well, they would go to, thank you for asking, www.itmlinstitute.org, or just Google Eric P. Bloom. I'm a previous nationally syndicated columnist. I write for CIO World. I'm easy to find. If you get someone who looks like a conservative guy with gray hair, it's me. If you get someone up online and Google that looks like a rock star, it's the head of Blue Oyster Cult, and that's not me.
So if they're devastatingly good-looking, it's not you.
That's not me. I'm the other guy, and as I would say here, with the face for radio.
Yeah. Well, Eric, thanks for being on the show. Clearly a lot of energy, a lot of passion for what you do. You got to come back, talk about some of the courses, maybe go through some curriculum and give us a sense of what you do.
It'd be my pleasure to come back anytime you want. Right. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it, and you got a great show.
Great. Thank you. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and I'm host of Radio Entrepreneurs, also CEO of Mage LLC, and we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.